Maybe. All right. That's going to be fun for whoever's listening to the recording later. Yeah, I need a welder. I need Clinton over here to fix this, is what I need. There we go. Well, you're supposed to get their attention somehow. There you go. All right. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Story time. I love Sunday nights. It allows me in many ways to get on a more personal level, on a more application level, because there's more of the heart of the group here, definitely on Sunday nights, and we're able to talk about some more mature things oftentimes. And one of my favorite things to do, as you know, is I love the Old Testament. I'm absolutely in love with the Old Testament, and the more I read it, the more I fall in love with it, and the more I learn about Jesus. And tonight, what I want to do is I want us all to open up our Bibles first to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And we're going to take a look at some lessons that David is going to pass on to his son Solomon. And just to give us a little bit of a background on where we're at in this part of the text, remember that before Solomon ever, you know, was in the picture in regards to building the temple, who was it that really, really desired to build the temple and wanted to build the temple? It was David. And the Lord told David that it was not appointed for him to build the temple because he had shed too much blood by his hands. He was a man of war. But God did allow David to do something. And he allowed David to bring all the supplies together and make all the provisions to prepare for Solomon to begin the building of this temple. And it's at this point, while David is still king, that David is going to start bringing some charges to the people, and he's going to make some charges to his own son Solomon, because God has revealed to David that Solomon is going to be the one to build the temple. And that's where we're going to pick up, is David brings a charge to Israel, starting in verse 1 of chapter 28, and then he shifts his attention to Solomon. And in verse 6, it says, "He said to me," that is the Lord, "It is Solomon your son who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he continues strong in my commandments and my rules as he is today. Now therefore, in the sight of Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever." And now David shifts his attention and he speaks to his son Solomon. And what he's going to tell his son Solomon in exact terms is that he needs to commit himself wholly to the Lord, completely to the Lord. And he begins in verse 9, and he says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Let's start back at the beginning here. He says, "Know God, the God of your father." And of course, we know that that word "know" or knowledge is the idea of this most intimate relationship. He says, you need to know the Lord like I know the Lord. And you need to serve him with two things. The first thing he says is you need to serve him with your whole heart. And in that time period, the heart was thought to be the center of consciousness. It was what made you who you are. It was just a description of your innermost being, Sometimes instead of heart, they would refer to your entrails. Actually, the word is intestines and or bowels. And that was to represent your innermost part. It was who you are. It was the same type of thing. It wasn't your actual, of course, you know, organs and body parts, but it was to represent that you have given yourself completely over to the Lord. And not only with all of your heart, but that is going to encompass, he says, a willing spirit. See, God does not want service from his people simply out of fear. Nor does God want people to serve him simply because that's what they've been told to do or that's what their father did. That's not your own faith, is it? That's someone else's faith that you're simply emulating because that's what you're supposed to do. The Lord wants you to serve him because it is your complete will to do so. That you have made a personal decision yourself that I'm going to serve God with all of my heart and I'm going to serve him with all of my mind. And the thing that David reminds Solomon of is that God will know whether you're really doing that or not. He says, the Lord searches the heart and the thoughts of men. Nothing is hidden from him. It's like we stand open and bare before him. And we really do in every sense of that concept. We stand naked and bare before God, and he knows our every thought and our every plan. Where others might fool the people around them into thinking that they want to serve God or serve God with all their heart, God truly knows. And that's why we're reminded of the scripture that we know God is not mocked. What a man sows, you finish it. That he will also reap. God knows the difference. And we will be judged for our thoughts and our actions. And he tells Solomon that you must serve him with everything you have. But he gives him a promise. He says, if you seek him, the promise is you will find him. Jesus said the same thing to his disciples. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. The promise is that if you seek God, you will find him, and more so, you will be found in him. But he warns Solomon in the same token, if you forsake him, not that God will forsake you, and we'll see that in the next section. God never forsakes his people. But if you forsake him, God cannot have fellowship and a relationship with you. And if you forsake him, the promise is you will be cast off forever. In one promise, you seek him and you will be brought near. But on the other spectrum, if you reject him, you will be removed as far away as possible from the Lord. And therefore, he concludes and says, be careful then, for the Lord has chosen for you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Solomon was given a specific mission, and David encourages him, you need to take this mission, this job that God has given you, very, very seriously, and you need to be committed to it. And think about how much more that would come from when it comes from David, because David wanted to do this job more than anyone else, and yet God told him it's not your job to do. And so David here is making certain that if he can't do the job, my son Solomon, you better make sure you do it right. Because I want to do this job, and God has told me it's your job, so you be strong and you do it. So when we look at this, and we look at ourselves, the first thing that we need to learn in application to ourselves is that God wants us to be committed completely to him. You know, when you begin to study with someone and you're trying to get them to obey the gospel, I think one of the things that we just don't do a good enough job, at least I don't, and that I need to work on in my teaching, is helping people to understand the seriousness of being a kingdom citizen. and the commitment that lies behind being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is not simply that you repent of your sins and are buried with Him in baptism and then that's it. Jesus expects there to be a radical transformation of your life. Jesus wants all of you. He does not want half of you. And we need to think about our own walk. I want us to do some introspection tonight. I want you to ask yourself, because only you and the Lord know this. Is your whole heart actually committed to the Lord? Am I truly serving God with a willing mind and a willing spirit? Or am I just halfway committed to serving God and kind of halfway committed to doing what I want in my life and serving myself? We've already discussed this because Jesus is going to bring up this problem in the Sermon on the Mount. He says that it is impossible for you to serve two masters, because you'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll serve one and despise the other. You cannot half-heartedly follow Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a disciple, it's all or nothing. You got to go all the way. And Jesus Christ has given each of us a mission. Every single one of us has been called to be a minister of reconciliation to the world around us. And God has given every single one of us different talents and different abilities. And sometimes we find ourselves wanting that which we don't have instead of appreciating what God has given us and doing well with the things that God has given to us and doing that task. The Corinthians had the same problem with spiritual gifts, didn't they? Some of them had gifts of prophecy and different gifts of knowledge, but what did everyone there want to have? They wanted to be able to speak in tongues, and they all fought over it. And Paul says, no, no, no. If you want to desire the best gifts, they aren't even the spiritual gifts. The best gift is actually what? It's love. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 13 to describe that and talk about that. But they were not pleased with what they had. They wanted that which they didn't have to serve God. And I want you to just consider where Solomon was in regards to David. Solomon was given a job, and yet it was a job that someone else really wanted, and yet it wasn't their job to do. And yet David was told, you just do your part. And David did his job the best that he could. If you're not pleased with where you're at with the Lord or the gifts that He's given you or the abilities He's given you, have you ever stopped to think about that maybe someone else wants more than anything to be able to serve God with the gifts that you have and to do the job that God has given to you? That's what someone else wants to do, and yet they've been given a different job from the Lord. With whatever measure God has given you, be strong and be committed to fulfill it. Be committed completely to the Lord and you fulfill your task that God has given you. The second portion that we read is down in verse 20. David is going to bring his second charge to Solomon. And here the lesson that we're going to learn to Solomon and to ourselves is that we need to be strong and courageous. And the reason behind it is that we don't have any reason to fear because we are never alone when we're doing the Lord's work. David begins by saying to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do it. And do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. And behold, the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God. And with you in all the work will be every willing man who has skill for any kind of service. Also the officers and all the people will be wholly at your command. David tells Solomon, you be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. When I first read this, I was really confused because why would Solomon have any reason to be afraid? He's building a building. You know, it's not like he's out fighting a war. Why would Solomon have any reason to be afraid? But when you think about what God has called him to do, this task, how overwhelming is this task that God has given to Solomon? Not only in regards to the detail, go back and read all the details behind what the Lord commanded them to do in building the house of the Lord. It was an overwhelming task. But the very fact that Solomon knew this whole time, no matter how great this building was that he built, at the end of the day, before they dedicate the temple, Solomon recognized, you know, God can't even dwell here. You know, he will, and his presence is here, but the whole earth can't contain you, God, much less this house that I've built. Solomon was overwhelmed. And Solomon also would have had discouragements along the way. Because you can probably, and better believe, remember when they were rebuilding the temple after it had already been destroyed? And then Nehemiah comes back and is rebuilding the walls. What were all the nations around them doing to them as they were building the temple? They were mocking them. Think about the nations around Solomon right now. They weren't worshiping Yahweh. They were worshiping Baal. And they were worshiping the Ashtaroth. And they were worshiping all sorts of different foreign gods. And they had their temples. And they had their idols. And you could just picture them saying, this wise man, the wisest man in the world, and look what he's doing. He's building a house to his own God. He doesn't even worship our gods. He's not like the rest of us. And then you would think about later on. Was the temple that Solomon built ever taken for granted and even profaned by the people of God? His own people would rise up after his time and profane that which he had built and was dedicated to God and was to be holy and intended for his purpose. And I don't know about you, but when you put a lot of work into something and you see it destroyed, that can be really discouraging. I know how that feels. It's hard. It's difficult. But God tells David to tell Solomon, you don't be dismayed. And you don't be discouraged because of two reasons. First of all, is the Lord is with you. Until you are completely done with the work that God has given you to do, God will never leave your side. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He is going to be with you through every step of the way. And second of all, he says, all of the Levites and every willing person that has any skill, they are completely at your disposal. Solomon, you're not alone. You have all of these people to do the Lord's work. And there's an encouragement that I find there. Oftentimes, Satan really wants us to feel alone, doesn't he? And we see that through the scriptures. When people that were good servants of God ended up in a very discouraged place because they felt alone and they felt like the work that they had done was for naught. Elijah had that moment, didn't he? And he fled after the contest at Mount Carmel, and Jezebel was after his life. And he thought that he alone was the only one that was serving God. And yet the Lord spoke to him in a whisper after the fire and after the earthquake, and after the great strong wind, and it was just a hush, a whisper. And he ensures Elijah, there are 6,000 in Israel that still will not bow the knee to Baal. There will always be people ready to do the work of the Lord. You are never, ever alone. And when we get discouraged because we think we're alone or because part of the temple of God, we are His temple, gets profaned or destroyed, whether it's someone that, you know, we know very well and have spent time with and worked on, or whether it's someone else that was a part of the group that I didn't know so well, but it hurts the rest of the body, it's discouraging when you see the work that you've put in destroyed. But God will never leave His body. Jesus Christ said that behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Romans 8 this morning, we saw that God's Spirit dwells within us. The Spirit of Christ dwells within us. The Spirit of Him who raised Christ, the Spirit of the Father, dwells within us. God is with us every step of the way. You are never alone because God is with you. And second of all, we are never alone because we have our brothers and sisters right here. When you get discouraged, and when you start thinking that you've been given a task too great for you to bear, remember that God never intended for you to do it alone. He intended for us to do it together. I'm so grateful for this congregation. I'm so grateful for the way that you encourage me and the way that we work together and that you work amongst yourselves together. And the elders this afternoon were great encouragements to me. And they reminded me not to become discouraged when it's easy to become discouraged oftentimes, but to remember that they're there and God's there. And that was the message that David gave to Solomon. Finally, our last point. I want you to turn back now to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Chronicles 28 does discuss David's death and the anointing of Solomon, but it doesn't give us this last sneak peek into the last and final charge that David gives to Solomon. And on his deathbed, David is going to share this last charge to him. And he's going to tell his son that he needs to finish his walk with the Lord like he had done, and that he needs to leave his legacy by teaching his children that are to follow. Look with me, if you will, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, "When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, 'I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish His word that He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne in Israel.'" The first thing David tells his son is he says, it's time to grow up. It's time for you to be a man. And I love that language. Paul uses very similar language in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. When he talks about men are to be loving and this type of thing, but he says to be strong and to act like men. And whatever you do, let it be done in love. I love that passage because Paul just brings it home and he encourages men and women, really, those who are in Christ, to be strong and to stand up and to grow up, to be mature. And that's what David tells Solomon. You grow up, and this is how you show yourself a man: by walking in all of the Lord's ways. When you finish your walk like David was, this is in many ways David's fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith speech. And he's teaching his son and leaving his legacy and saying, this is how I have served God, and this is how I've walked my faith. Now, Solomon, you do the same, and God's promise to me will be true for you. You walk this way, and you teach your sons to walk this way, and you will never lack a man on the throne in Israel. The saddest part of the story is, of course, we know the history of Israel. Solomon lost his way for a while, and Rehoboam never did honor the Lord. And the whole kingdom became divided, and the thrones ended up being taken away. But the promise to David remained sure, because one would sit on David's throne forevermore, and he's sitting on his throne right now, and his name is Jesus Christ. But David's message to Solomon and his application to him was to finish his walk. And when you honor God, it is then that you will prosper and be established. See, Solomon, when you read Ecclesiastes, Solomon thought to establish himself and to become prosperous and to abound, he needed to seek out all of the different things of this world. And at the end of the matter, Solomon came back to a truth that he had been told a long time ago. And the truth was, you are not going to prosper and you are not going to be established by pursuing after the things of this world. It's vanity and like grasping for the wind. You want to know what the whole duty of man is, what it all comes back to? He remembered the words of his father and he said, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." David tells Solomon then to also teach his children. David certainly taught Solomon and taught his other sons, though many of them rebelled. David taught them through Psalm. He taught them through reciting history. It was a wonderful prayer Ray gave. Sometimes it's really good to recite our history and remember how God has blessed us and brought us to this place, remembering those who have gone on before us and what they've done to help bring us to this place. David did that all the time in teaching his children. And I want us to recognize that our work is not finished simply when God has called us to come home. Yeah, our time's done. But what are we leaving here on this earth? Because life will continue here after the Lord has called us home. The question is, what will I have done while I was here to ensure that the Lord's will continues to be done after I've gone home to be with Him? And if I'm going to finish my walk with the Lord, first and foremost, I need to be faithful to Him. In Revelation chapter 2, be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life. That's me personally. But brethren, if we are going to truly finish our walk with the Lord, we need to leave a legacy. And like He told Solomon in his first charge, know the Lord of God, the God of your father. We need to teach our children to know the Lord. And it's then, at that moment, that we could recite the words of Paul. Because Paul says, "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I've kept the faith." And that was for himself. But before Paul left, Paul did something very important, didn't he? And he taught those who were like his sons and ensured that the work of the Lord would continue on by teaching them to know the Lord. He knew after he was gone, Timothy was going to continue to preach the word. He knew after he was gone, Titus was going to continue to preach the word. And I want to encourage you as a family, part of finishing your walk is to not just make sure you get to heaven, but it's ensuring that you've done everything you can to take your family with you. Leave a legacy and teach your family, teach your children. I got to brag on Kevin for a minute because he's teaching me how to be a father when I become a father. And I love it when we'll go over and we're helping just around the house. As he's changing William or doing different things, he's teaching him the fruits of the Spirit and talking to him about the Word. And whether or not William hears those things right now, he might not understand them right now, but you know what? They'll register later as he continues to hear them as he grows over and over again. Kevin made a decision. I'm going to teach my family to know the Lord. My dad made a decision. I'm going to teach my boys to know the Lord. And as my brother has been struggling, it's been his continued mission and mine and many of yours to reach out and encourage him to say, you need to know the Lord. And in this group, I want you to think of your families. And if you have children that are not faithful to God, be strong and be courageous and fulfill your work to the Lord and go get them. Because that's what God is calling for every single one of us to do. That's a difficult task, but that is the only thing that we can take with us. Our faith, our family, and our friends. Those are the only things that matter. when all is said and done. And so the encouragement for us tonight is these three things. Are we committed fully to the Lord? Not halfway, but are we fully committed to the Lord? And am I fully committed to doing the job that God has given me to do? And if so, will I be strong and courageous? And even when I get discouraged, will I remember that God is there, I'm never alone, and that I don't have to do it alone? I have my brothers and sisters here to help me. And finally, will I finish my race? And will I ensure that I leave my legacy and teach my children to know the Lord? The lesson is yours. If you have any need this evening, or if there are those here that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is an opportunity right now. Will you not repent of your sins, be buried with Him in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life, being given the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit? And then you will learn what it means to truly be a disciple of Christ, to be fully committed to Him. The invitation is yours. Let's stand and sing the song of encouragement.